Lecture 15, The Political Implications of the Revolution.
This is our last lecture on the revolutions of 1848. In the previous two, we've examined the origins of the revolution in the period before 1848, the outbreak of revolution in February and March in France and in Central Europe. In this final lecture devoted to the revolutions of 1848, we're going to examine the rollback of revolution, the counter-revolution that sets in the summer of 1848 and would carry into 1849, and we want to try to draw some conclusions to assess the significance of the revolutions of 1848 for political developments in Europe in the last half of the 19th century, in particular, the impact of the revolutions of 1848 on the evolution of liberalism and conservatism. As we suggested in the previous lecture, it may very well be that these great revolutions of mid-century would have actually a beneficial effect on conservatism, prompting conservatism to find a way to modernize itself. In the late spring, early summer of 1848, revolution was triumphant everywhere. Everywhere monarchy was in retreat. Everywhere constitutions were being drafted. Debates were certainly being carried on, but they weren't between monarchists and liberals. They were between different sorts of liberals, Republicans versus more moderate liberals. By the summer, however, monarchy had begun to reassess its position. In June of 1848, the counter-revolution would begin, and it would begin not simply with the June days in France, but in Central Europe with the attack of Austrian forces on the revolutionaries in Bohemia. In the month of June, General Windischgrätz, dispatched from German Austria, would subdue all of Bohemia, repress the revolution, send the delegates packing, and 6 weeks later, General Radetzky, also a Habsburg general, would defeat the Piedmontese in northern Italy, and the retreat of revolution in Italy was also underway. In September, the Habsburgs turned the Croatians against the Hungarians. This had been traditionally a standard tactic of the Habsburgs, was to play one ethnic group off against another in difficult times. And in September of 1848, the Habsburgs encouraged Croatians to move against the Hungarians, which they did. And finally, in October of 1848, General Windischgrätz moved his troops on Vienna itself, smashing into the city, repressing the revolutionaries, and once again reestablishing Habsburg power. At this point, the Emperor Ferdinand abdicated in favor of his 18-year-old grandson, Francis Joseph. For some reason, I always feel, with the case of Francis Joseph, I always feel more like saying Franz Josef in the old Habsburg Viennese way, and so I will do that, though I realize this is inconsistent. Franz Josef would come to power in 1848 and would reign in Austria for 68 years, passing from the scene only in 1916 in the midst of the First World War. In January of 1849, Habsburg troops seized Budapest, but still could not completely subdue the Hungarian Revolution. The emperor appealed to Nicholas I of Russia, who would send troops into Hungary to help subdue the Hungarian Revolution, crushing the Hungarian rebels under Kossuth in August of 1849. So here we see, in a belated, a very belated fashion, the concert of Europe, the Russians being drawn in to help repress revolution in Central Europe. The Habsburgs, the Russians felt, owed them the success of this counter-revolution because of Nicholas I's stalwart support of the Habsburgs in suppressing the revolution in Hungary.